I've got to hang with Pastor Matt quite a few times. He is one of my personal favorites. He says it like it is, and that's what I love about you, Pastor Matt. Tonight, you're going to be blessed in a huge way from Hornell, New York. Would you welcome
yes.
my great friend, Pastor Matt Sassano.
Thank you, sir. Bless your heart. Okay. Amen. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Let me fix myself up here. Oh, this fell off. Does that belong on here? Looks like it belongs on my nose, one of those soft... Okay. That's the anointing is going to be filtered right through that thing right now. Well, it's a privilege to be here at the City Church. Always is. I appreciate the invitation. We love being here. We just love being here. I don't take every invitation. I do get quite a few. I get some invitations out, but I don't go much. I'm not an evangelist. I was telling Pastor Ryan and Pastor Marty the last time I preached here. Not the last time I was here. The last time I preached here, it was March 1st of this year. And we had a major snowstorm. And what is normally an hour and 10-minute drive, it took us over, well, almost 3.5 hours, right, Al? 3.5 hours. So Pastor Marty said, would you have gotten a hotel if you know? I said, well, probably wouldn't have come. That's all. But it was beautiful when we left the house. And it was nice when we got here. So you ready for the word? Can we stand for a second? I want you to put your hand over your heart and just pray a quick prayer with me. And I mean that. I want you, dear Jesus, take the word of the Lord, touch my heart, and change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down. Woo! A man received a call. You got to hear this. A man received a call from his wife just as she was about to fly home from a ladies' week in Europe. Her husband answers and she says, how's my cat? He said, your cat's dead. She said, honey, you didn't have to be so honest. Why just couldn't you break it to me a little slower? Like, you know, when you just basically ruined my whole trip. He says, what do you mean? He said, well, you could have told me he was on the roof. And then when I called you from Paris, you could have told me he was acting a little sluggish. And then when I called you from London, you could have at least said he was sick. And when I called you from New York, you could have said I took him to the vet. And then when I arrived home, you could have broken the bad news to me. And her husband was so messed up. He goes, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean to ruin your vacation. He didn't ever hear of such protocol. And he says, I'm going to do better next time. I promise. And she says, okay, I forgive you, honey. By the way, how's my mother? She's on the roof. Woo! Well, let's get serious. Amen? Am I still on? Everything's just falling apart on me. I'm going to put the clown nose over here, all right? That'll just be over there. Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bible, your tab, your phone, your whatever you got there. Mark, they're going to put it up on the screen in the New Living Translation. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat, and they started out, leaving the crowds behind them, although some other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Is there any more? Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head in a cushion, and the disciples woke him, shouting, Teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown? Are you still with me? Don't you care? Where we stopped there? Number 35? 38. Verse 39 says, Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. Silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped. There was a great calm. And they asked him, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, I want to read the story again from Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. It's really not a whole lot different from Matthew's perspective, but I wanted to read it. Verse 23 through 27, Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you so afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obeyed him?" A year ago, September, my wife and I were flying home from Los Angeles from a niece's wedding. And as we were approaching Rochester, actually we were several hundred miles away, but how many of you know when you're going 300-400 miles an hour, it don't take too long to get where you got to be? So we were several hundred miles out, and the pilot announced there was a storm over the Rochester area, and we were told we might experience some turbulence in the last 30 minutes of the flight, which really turned out to be not so much. Now, I don't like to fly. I tolerate flying. How many of you have never flown in your life? Never. I don't like to do it. I've been all over the world, literally, and I don't like it. I just tolerate it. So I just tolerate it. My wife loves it. She sleeps and she cuddles and she all that stuff. I'm just awake all the time. I can't sleep on airplanes. I'm nervous that we're going to blow up. I don't like it. I just tolerate it. And when I've gone overseas, you're like, "How long is the flight?" "We're going to be on it in about 12 hours. You think, "Dear Jesus, help me." So we said we're going to be circling Rochester at about 24,000 feet for a little while to allow other planes that had been... Can you give me my water there? I'm going to need that. Some of you don't know. This is my daughter, so I can call her honey and hug her and all that stuff. Some of you might not know. The preacher's groping the singer. I've had it happen before. Well, how come you tell? Well, listen, none of you. And so he said, about 24,000 feet, we're going to be, let some other planes land, and we're going to go. And I looked out the window. All I could see in 24,000 feet was just simply darkness. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the clouds, all you see is clouds. And if you flew before, you know what I'm talking about. And all you could see is those red flashing lights on the wings. And I realized something. I probably shouldn't have realized it, that this pilot was flying not by his sight anymore, but he was flying because he was trained to fly by the instrument panel in front of him. On July 16th, 1999, some of you are old enough to remember this, on July 16th, 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife and her sister were on their way to a relative's wedding from New Jersey to Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. John, who was the pilot on a small Cessna aircraft, he had purchased just 3 months prior. His wife got out of work later than normal, and thus they were having to leave for the wedding a little later than expected. And it was on the flight that John F. Kennedy and his wife and her sister met their death. Stay with me now. How many of you remember what I was talking about? 20 years ago now. This coming July will be 20 years. Unbelievable. Now here, let me tell you what happened. He was certified to fly. I did a lot of study on this. He was certified to fly, but he was not certified to fly completely at night. And so while flying the plane, he got what scientists or doctors call spatial disorientation. Spatial disorientation, because the combination of clouds and fog and the approaching darkness confused his mind. And the horizon, if you remember, which he normally was guided by, because if you don't go by your panels, you got to go by the horizon. He was guided by the horizon, blending in with the water, and he could not tell the difference between the water and the horizon. And they knew this because there wasn't at any point in that flight. You can read this in history. There wasn't any point in that flight that he even called for help, and they know pretty much that he thought he was okay. But by the time, you know what happened, it was simply too late. But I don't know how many of you ever experienced spatial disorientation, but let me give you an example of what it might be. Have you ever sat in a parking lot next to a car, and the car next to you starts to go back a little bit, and you think it's you? Anybody been there before? And you're sitting there really still. That car starts to pull out, and what do? You hit the brakes because you're getting your phone, you're doing the music, whatever. And the car, in your mind, the car starts to roll back a little bit, and you think it's you, so you put your foot right through the brake, and you're not even moving. That's what a little bit is called spatial disorientation. Your mind is telling you something that is really not happening, but your eyes are processing something completely different. Anybody been there before with that brake thing? It happens to me, I don't know, a couple times a year. Like you think the drugs would get out of your body after so many years, you know? And so John Kennedy would normally fly and use the shoreline as a guide when he was flying because he wasn't certified at night completely. But since he was running behind schedule, he took a shortcut, history tells us. And that's sort of that's what happened when he had this experiencing this spatial disorientation. Have you ever had a drive in a snowstorm? I just mentioned a snowstorm. And it can get so bad that all you have to go by is either the yellow line if it's visible, or if there's railings, go by railings. You have to do the guide thing. You're no longer driving like, you know, summertime. You just want to get home at 3 miles an hour, but you can't see the road anymore. You can't see and so you just kind of guiding. Hopefully, are you with me so far? Now, since John wasn't trained by flying instruments alone, he had to go by sight. And his sight failed him because his mind, it's amazing what God made in our mind, isn't it? Our minds are amazing machines. His mind and his eyes were telling him two different, entirely different things, amen? And what he was seeing and what he was feeling were completely far from reality. And so when darkness, it's really not a pretty story. It'll get better. Hang on with me, all right? So when darkness began to engulf his airplane, when he thought he was flying straight, they thought he apparently must have made a correction, and he was flying into the water when he thought he was going straight. But he was actually flying vertically because he had no way of knowing that. Why? You know this already. Because he didn't know what his instruments in front of him were telling him. He had no way to know which way was up, which way was down, because he thought that he was flying straight, and he flew straight, but he flew straight in the water. There's an incredible biblical truth to John's story, unfortunately, his story. Jesus told his disciples and us, in this life, you will have troubles. Come on, anybody trouble-free? If you are, just write your book, and I'll buy it. He says one thing. He says there's several things going to happen in this life. He said, number one, you are going to go through challenges in your life. Somebody say amen. You are going to have your hope challenged. You are going to have your faith challenged. And oftentimes, hear me, you are going to experience things, listen to this, that feel like, and look like all hell has broken loose in your life. Has anybody at City Church here been to a place, seriously, where there was a time in your life where you felt that all hell broke loose? Raise both your hands, all right? All hell broke loose. Let me give you some good news. All hell cannot break loose on you. Even though it breaks loose a little bit, God always has hell on a leash. He told Lucifer about Job. You can do whatever you want to do to him, but do not take his life. And no matter what the enemy does in your life, I want to tell you something. No matter what the enemy does in your life, he can't do everything he wants to do in your life. And the reason he hasn't done everything he wants to do in your life is because he is always on some kind of leash. He's on a leash. See, oftentimes we call life a journey. Let me call it a flight. Can we, instead of calling it a journey, and I know that's a journey you can use for any kind of driving, flying, walking, I'm on a journey, but let's call life being a flight. And let me simulate life as it were if you were getting on an airplane, okay? If you've never gotten on an airplane, just bear with me. My associate pastor's never flown. We're trying to get her on an airplane. You might as well forget. I don't know if she's listening now. We're going to get you on an airplane, miss. She's real conservative, and she. My wife talked her into getting a tattoo a couple of days ago. And I texted her. I said, I want you to know, you and my wife are going to hell. Now, it's a joke. Those of you who don't know me, I'm joking. You can tat up all you want. I don't really care. Dear Jesus, anyway. So she got a little tat of a little kitty cat. A little kitty cat. It's cute. Not really, but anyway, it's. Let's go on an airplane. Let's go on. If you've been on an airplane, okay. Let's look at life as an airplane. You call to board the plane, and that's called salvation. Okay, you take on your luggage that you're taking on board with you. How many of you know? Every one of us carry baggage. When you get born again, nothing goes perfectly right. Amen. Jesus wants to take your baggage, but we carry our baggage into this new life. Come on. You take your seat. In other words, you find your place in the body of Christ. The pilot comes on, and after a few preliminary words about your destination, the weather conditions, and the time of arrival, so he speaks to you. Then we fly on to new sights, new places, new faces, but then a storm arises. A storm arises. And I'm not going to be long, but I want to talk about four things that happened to John F. Kennedy that will happen in your life when you go through struggles. And if you're not careful, instead of you thinking you're going straight, you're going to fly straight into the water. Number one, remember, John Kennedy took a shortcut because he was in a rush. Listen to me, church. I wish there was shortcuts. I'll be honest. Frankly, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be, like Ryan says, I'm just an honest guy. I wish in life there was a shortcut to certain things. I don't want to mention a whole lot of stuff, but I wish there were certain things to get. And Lord, can we just cut off at the pass and get this program underway? Somebody say amen. You know, our church is a little over 5 years old now. We've been looking at a building. We've been wanting a building for 5 years. And it's been, to me, it's been dragging on. And I'm saying, Lord, how about some shortcuts? He said, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. So what's 5 years, dude? I love the Lord, but sometimes I don't like him. Listen to me. Do not take shortcuts in your walk with God. Because you have a process that you need to walk through. And I don't even like the process. I want to tell you again. I believe this. Whether you like the process or not, you're going to go through it. You're going to go through it. God's not going to speed things up for me or you. So understand, John took a shortcut. And when you walk with God, there are no real shortcuts. Are you listening to me? And if you try to cut things short, understand God is in no hurry in your life. Number two, John Kennedy did not stay connected to the shore that would have guided him. When you are going through something in your life, you cannot break away from the house of God. I've been pastoring about 35 years in one way, shape, or form. And I think you can be in the church 35 minutes and understand this. When people go through stuff, oftentimes, unfortunately, what they do is they quit coming to the house of the Lord, where they're going to receive their training and encouragement and people surrounding them and praying for them and tell them it's going to be okay. What they do is they end up getting a little, they get their panties in a wad at God and they stay home and they watch Christian TV. Are you hearing me? If they watch that, are you guessing? So you, when you're going through stuff, whether you like it or not, whether you feel it or not, do not avoid the house of the Lord. Somebody say amen. You cannot avoid God's house. You cannot avoid God's people because they will keep you going in the right direction. I'm sorry, but I'm a big believer in church. Well, you're a preacher. No. I was a big believer in church before I was. Because you know what it is? Let me give you some information. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. This church thing that was born in Acts chapter 2 is an invention of God himself. And we're not perfect, we're not supposed to, but the beautiful part about church is that when it's working the way it's supposed to work, it works. Which means God, the perfect God using imperfect people to carry out a perfect plan. So hear me. See, you're here tonight, but you may have just wandered in. I want you to know the body of Christ and perfections and all. That's the beauty of it. With all the imperfections of church, and you know, there's some preachers here. You have no idea how imperfect it is. My wife came into the ministry. I was already in the ministry when my wife and I got married. And she was always a server in the church and where she was. She got in the church. She says, I cannot believe. She told me this, Mark. I cannot believe Christians act this way. I never saw this. In all the years I served God, I said, no, because you were serving bagels and donuts and you were taking an offering, but you had no idea what went on behind in the offices of this place because people are crazy. People are crazy. I wonder if there's a rubber room in heaven for those who did make it. I don't know. But in all the beauty of it and all the ugliness of it, you cannot get away. You see, that guide that John missed, that shoreline, you've got to stay connected and don't pull away from the shore, because if you pull away from the shore, I'm going to guarantee you something. I'm going to be a prophet. You will crash and you will burn. That's it. Number three. Remember, John Kennedy did not know the instrument panel. He didn't know the instrument panel. I don't know the man. I didn't follow the Kennedys. I don't know what makes you think. Again, this is all hindsight. Now, I don't know what makes you think that if you haven't been trained in instruments that you're going to go on at dusk and arrive where you are at night and expect that you might be okay. John Kennedy didn't know the instrument panel. This is going to sound silly, but the instrument panel is the Word of God. You know, I come to find out there is less than zero excuse for not people getting into God's Word. You don't have to know how to read because you can listen to it. You don't have to know how to read because you can listen to it. Huh? And you don't, listen, there are so many, particularly today, the technology, there is so many ways to get the Word of God in you. There are times I don't even feel like reading the Bible. You know what I'll do? I'll just plug in my phone and I'll just listen to it. Just listen to it. And I'm not a word hog. I don't have it memorized. But I want to tell you something now. You need to understand. We all need to understand the instrument panel is the Word of God. This thing will guide you, okay? You and I will experience tests to strengthen us. And there are times that will come and you will see and you will feel confusion. You will feel loneliness. You will feel doubt. You will feel fear. And none of that is true, because you cannot go in this life by what you're seeing. You can't go by what you're feeling. You got to know what the Word of the Lord says. It has nothing to do with what we see. It has nothing to do with how we feel. You, a few minutes ago, you said that you felt, and I have, that all hell was breaking loose. Well, yeah, it might have been a bad time, but I want to say something about that. What you're going through is temporary, and the enemy is a liar. And he'll tell you that this is going to last forever, and this will not end, and you'll never change, and it'll always be the same. And everyone, I don't even have to tell you this. If you've been in church 10 minutes, you understand how the enemy speaks to us. You need to get this in your system. Get the word. Listen, you don't even have to like to read. You could read a verse a day. You know, we have that scripture that people say, when Jesus said to his disciples, can you stay awake for 1 hour? And we've turned that into some kind of theology. We've turned that into some theology that says if we don't spend an hour a day with God, then we're just heathens. That is so out of context. Are you hearing me today? But I want to encourage you. Lord, the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me a word for today. I need to go. Just give me a verse. Give me a word. What am I doing? Just give me something. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the greatest prayer partner you'll ever have. He's the greatest teacher and the greatest assistant to help you. You know, but people say, well, we just flip the Bible open and read it. I think it's a pretty good idea. At least you're reading it. Or listening to it. Or doing something. Come on. John got in trouble because what he was seeing and what he was feeling because of his training was simply not the case. He was going into the water when he thought he was going straight. And you and I probably know he never even probably found out what the problem was. You cannot, Lord help me live this, you cannot go by your natural instincts when it comes to the spirit man. Listen, you cannot go by your natural instincts when it comes. We you know what? I know we're human beings and we're flesh, but let me tell you what we are. We are spirit people. We are spirits just walking around in this body. It's not the other way around. We are just spirits walking around. When you sleep at night, folks, let me give you some information. Your spirit is not sleeping. Your spirit stays awake, and your spirit can commune with God. And you ever wake up singing a song? And this, I don't know, just everybody do that? Or a scripture or something good. I don't mean you had some, but you wake up and you're singing, what's happening is your spirit has connected, your natural spirit, the spirit that God gives us life, has connected with the Holy Spirit while you're snoring away. Doesn't sleep. And so John went by his natural instincts. Because he wasn't trained, because he didn't know the instrument panel. Could I encourage you to get to know the instrument panel? Get to God's house. Get to God's house and study the word. So you really believe that you can become attuned to God's word, the instrument panel, by just reading it? Oh, I believe that. Amen? I believe that. Well, Pastor, you don't know my schedule. Well, can I say something? Adjust your schedule. I'm not talking about work and stuff you have no control. I'm talking about adjust your schedule. When I see folks in church on Sunday and they're not taking drastic amounts of medicine and they're sleeping, I'm thinking, I'm glad you're comfortable enough to sleep, but crucify your nightlife. And all I can say is, hey, listen. Adjust your schedule and put God's word and the study of his word on a priority list. And when you go on a flight that's going to become unstable, and it will, you will somehow be trained. And it takes a long time, folks. I'm not even there myself. It takes a long time not to go by what I see. It takes a long time not to go by what I feel. But I got to go by what the word of God says. It says, you're going to be all right. I got a plan for your life. You're going to be okay. How many of you come through some stuff? Raise your hand. We talked about what we're going through. How many of you come through some hellish stuff? Raise your hand. You came through. And you could probably think of a time, that very thing, and you thought, I'm never going to get through this. How am I going to pull through this bankruptcy? How am I going to get through this divorce? How am I going to get through this church doing this? How? And somehow, you have the wherewithal, because you're sitting here, somehow you have the wherewithal to say, it's going to be all right. Amen. And lastly, remember, John Kennedy was flying by feeling and sight. Your feelings will always betray you. I'm going to say it again. Your feelings will always betray you because our feelings are affected by circumstances. And we find ourselves in, and by the circumstances we're in, and we do not account for the invisible, strong, loving hand of God. You know, I tell my church often, and I mean this with all my heart, there's more stuff going on that we can't see than we can see. You think there's just a bunch of us here at City Church tonight, but there's stuff in the spirit realm that's going on with you that you have no idea what's happening. The Bible tells, I may be crazy, I don't know if it's how would they feel about it at City Church, but I think I do. The Bible says each of us has an angel hanging out with us, at least one. At least one. There's stuff, and he's not there just hanging out with you. He is there to help you and guide you. And listen, they're not above the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know there's stuff going on in this room right now that if God would open our spiritual eyes, we would be amazed. God is always arranging the chips. God is arranging the chips to get you what he promised you and to get you where he promised he would take you. Somebody say amen. I know what the panel says, despite my surroundings. That's hard. That's hard to do. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. That's hard to do. My wife and I, a year ago, September, we were flying in nothing but darkness. Clouds, she was actually sleeping. I was the one that was awake, frankly. Clouds, uncertainty, nerves. And after a while, after all that working myself up, because I'm not a pilot, by the way, I don't know. But you know what was the greatest feeling in the world? We broke those clouds. And I saw city lights. Man, I felt good. I said, I'm going to live. Woo! I'm going to live. We're circling forever. And I'm going, dear Jesus, you're repenting for stuff you repented for 20 years ago. But you got to make sure he heard you. You're kind of going through your mind. How many of you have been there? How many of you going through your mind? And then we come low enough and we start, okay, we're going to start to descend now. Huh? And it breaks the clouds. Some of you have flown on what I'm talking about. And you see the lights of Rochester, New York. Oh, and even though you're 20,000 feet in the air or 10, you're like, oh, we're going to make it. The guy's using his eyes now. The guy's using his eyes. And so we're flying around. Visibility returns. And you land and you breathe and you understand that panic has been my enemy the whole time. Huh? Because the reason we panic is because we haven't trusted the instrument panel and you're simply flying through the storm by sight. Let me encourage you tonight as I close. I don't know how which way anymore to say it. Don't leave the shore. You stick to the house of God. Stick to the house of the Lord. Are you hearing me? Somebody, I feel prophetically, somebody needs to hear this. And I'm getting serious now. Somebody needs to hear, stick to the house of the Lord. No matter how difficult it is to get up on Sunday or how difficult it is to get your butt here on Wednesday night or whatever, you need to stick to the house of the Lord. Don't lose sight of the shore. Amen. And get in the Word, because you're going to go through turbulent times. You're not going to know if you're upside down. You're going to know if you're heading toward water. You're not going to know anything. You're going to feel, and you just got to go to the Word. I will never leave you or forsake you. You're the head and not the tail. You are more than a conqueror through Him. Come on, these are the words. These are the words. Father, I bless. Let me just raise your hand. I want to bless you right now. Why don't we stand? Can I have them stand, Ryan? Just lift your hands. I want to pray with you. Father, we bless you today. And I pray for each and every person in this house, Lord. Everyone, I speak blessing over their life. When you have a pastor, that, especially your own pastors, they pray over you, it's powerful receiving a pastoral blessing. I bless their lives. I bless their health. I want you to put your hands down. Keep your eyes closed. Now you can leave them open. I think you need to leave them open. Who's going through a tough, tough time right now? That really, what you need, if there's a miracle doesn't happen, we're in trouble. Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise it up high. There's several of you. Several of you. Come on, keep it up there. If God doesn't intervene, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your people. And those of you who don't have your hands raised, you ought to see who has the hand raised, because you're the house, and you need to hug them. You tell them everything's going to be okay and come alongside of them. So I bless them, Father, and I pray in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, that they wouldn't look at their circumstances. They wouldn't look at their surroundings. They wouldn't look at the clouds. They wouldn't look at the storm. They would look at the horizon, and they would see, and they would say, God, bring me through, and you will. I speak blessing. Bring them through whatever you're teaching them. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Marty. Amen.
Thank God. Come on, can you give the Lord a big hand clap tonight?
Amen.
It's beautiful. That was the best I've ever heard you preach. That was great. I know it. You keep on getting better. I want to add one more thing to what you did. Some of you heard this story before. When I was learning to fly, I was flying to I was in Pennsylvania. I forgot where. And a snowstorm set in. And I knew I was going to crash. I was lowering the plane. I was looking for a place to go. Couldn't see anything. I was calling for the what's called approach control. They couldn't hear me because now I'm too low. I knew I was going to crash. I was, like Pastor Matt was saying, I was asking God to forgive me of everything that I'd ever asked forgiveness for. But all of a sudden, an American airline pilot who was 35,000 feet above me heard me. He said, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to help you. And he contacted, it was Rochester Approach, and he told them they could see me, they couldn't hear me. And he told me how to fly into the airport. Sometimes, you not only... What you said tonight about staying connected to the house of the Lord is so important. But sometime, you just need somebody that's a little higher. Does it make you less than them? Does it make them better than you? You just need somebody. I want to, before we close tonight, and I'm going to close in prayer. If that's you tonight, just before you leave, come on down, stand up in front. I'm going to pray, I'm going to close, but just as an act of faith and obedience to God. Just as I'm praying, take a step out. Come right down here and stand right now. We're going to believe God with you. Father, tonight, I just want to say thank you. Don't sit there till you die. If I didn't have that help, I would have crashed. I'm here tonight. I have grandchildren because of that moment in my life. So, Lord, I just want to say thank you tonight for sending your servant into the house of God tonight. I want to say thank you, Lord, for conveying the living word of God to us. And I pray for those, Lord, that are maybe just too low where they can't even hear. And pray that, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll lift them up and you'll help tonight. I ask in the name of Jesus. I pray blessing on Pastor Matt tonight, Pastor John, on Deonza, their churches, Lord. I pray increase. Both of you men, come down, stand right up here. I want 4 or 5 men to come down. Lay your hands on these men of God right now. Father, come quickly. I pray favor. I pray blessing. I pray that you'll give them, Lord, what they're asking you for. I pray, Lord, for rapid, Lord, even though we know 1,000 days, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. We know that, God, but we just ask you tonight, before we see you face to face, I pray that you will give us the desire of our heart, I pray. And I pray, Lord, increase, increase, increase over their lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray no lack in their houses of worship. I pray, God, for a major turnaround to come, Lord, not only in the house of the Lord, but in their home personally as well, God. We give you praise and we give you thanks for it tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, everybody, shout a big amen tonight. Amen. I love you. Hug somebody before you go. Bless them. Make sure you tell Pastor Matt how much you appreciate him. Deonza as well.